Hello and welcome to the TES News podcast. My name is John Roberts. I'm joined by my reporting colleagues, Amy Gibbons and Catherine Luff. Hi there.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
And we've got together this afternoon to talk about the big story of the week, and it's one that's been a long time coming, the government reshuffle. With it, we've seen the departure of Gavin Williamson as Education Secretary, Nadeem Zahawi in as a new man in charge, and perhaps most surprisingly, Nick Gibb, the long-standing schools minister, ousted from his post. So, Amy, you've been following this from rumour to reality. Can you kind of talk us through how the day unfolded?
Yeah, from rumour to reality is a good way of putting it, because there certainly was. Well, there always is with these reshuffles, and a lot of rumours flying around on the day. Obviously, the previous week, we'd had rumours that reshuffle might be on the cards, and then it all kind of unfolded this week. So, yeah, the first thing was that Gavin Williamson was removed from his role as Education Secretary. I think I'll go out on a limb and say no one was surprised by that. That was very much coming. He's been in the post since July 2019. And yeah, so he's moved back to the backbenches. He's not got a different ministerial role now. There were a few different people who were tipped potentially to replace him. So Oliver Dowden, who was formerly the Culture Secretary, Kemi Badenoch, who was formerly Minister for Equalities, and even Liz Truss, who I know lots of people expected to be promoted up to foreign, which is what happened, but she was floated for this job before Nadeem Zahawi, who was very much a surprise, I think, to pretty much everyone across the board, but yeah, people didn't see it coming.
Yeah,
no, so formerly Vaccines Minister, yeah. He also used to work in the DfE as Children's Minister from 2018 to 2019. So it's not his first stint in the DfE, but it'll be, you know, certainly be interesting to see kind of what his priorities are going forward, given that he doesn't, you know, wasn't one of those ministers that was necessarily expected to take up the role.
Now, we've got lots of coverage on our site about this, but one of the things we've done is a piece looking at what we know about Nadeem Zahawi from his record and his past. Amy, you pulled that together. So what does that tell us about him?
Yeah, so he was actually born in Baghdad to Kurdish parents who came to the UK when he was 9. So they were fleeing Saddam Hussein's regime. So he grew up in Sussex and he was privately educated in West London. And then he went to UCL to study chemical engineering. It's quite interesting because he actually founded the polling firm YouGov, who lots of people will have heard of. He co-founded it around the turn of the century, which is quite an interesting bit of backstory to him. It's obviously quite entrepreneurial. And it wasn't until 2010, actually, that he sort of entered the main political fray, being a councillor in the 90s and the early noughties, and then moved towards Westminster in 2010. So he was became MP for Stratford-on-Avon. But it wasn't until 5 years after that that he kind of moved into the education sphere. So he was appointed actually as an apprenticeship advisor to David Cameron. And then in a few years later, in January 2018, that was when he took up the children's minister role in the DfE. And there are a couple of things that we picked out when we were doing some research on kind of what he achieved in the role and what his priorities were. He'd spoken out about off-rolling in the past to say that it's completely, completely unacceptable. And we know that that's very topical at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see if he weighs in on that debate with, how Ofsted records off-rolling going forward. And also he joined campaigners pushing for funding to secure the future of nursery schools. And this is a major, major thing for the early years world. I mean, they often feel in a constant state of uncertainty about whether nursery schools will be able to continue, for years to come. So if he could come up with a long-term solution, that could potentially be huge news and a big win for the sector. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Definitely. I think it's quite interesting. He's mentioned nurseries in two of the three of the first things he said so far. So definitely one for us to keep our eye on. But as I said at the outset, we kind of knew that Gavin Williamson was on borrowed time. It's almost felt like that for a year, really, since the last exam fiasco. But what I don't think was anticipated is Nick Gibb going. He announced that late on the night of the first reshuffle that he was sad to be leaving. So clear that it's not his decision. It's one from the Prime Minister and the centre of government to get rid of him. Catherine, can you talk about a little bit about his replacement?
Yes, absolutely. So so we know that Robin Walker, he's the MP for Worcester, and he also was previously the a minister in the Northern Ireland office. And he hasn't said sort of lots on education previously, but I think, you know, it's obviously a real shock that that Nick Gibb had left as well, and does suggest possibly that there'll be some policy changes. And the one thing we do know with Mr. Walker is that he was previously an aide to the Education Secretary, Nicky Morgan, and they had worked together quite closely on a white paper on kind of further academisation and also some changes to school governorships. So that could possibly suggest kind of like a future direction of travel. But there's some other, in terms of kind of what else the sector might be expecting from Nick Gibb's departure. I think that the other thing is obviously Mr. Gibb was a huge champion of phonics and a huge champion of kind of like very pure style exams as well. So the Association of School and College Leaders, they've sort of used his departure to kind of urge the government to look again at reforming GCSEs, looking again at the plans to kind of overhaul initial teacher training and sort of possibly a looking for a kind of a change of direction. I don't think we'll see from the current government any kind of like really significant movement away from GCSE, but I know that, for example, ASCL have said that one thing that should be looked at is reforming the EBAC measure, for example.
When just after Nick Gibb's departure is kind of confirmed, people start to talk about policy reform like it might now be a possibility. Almost the idea that these ideas would have been a non-starter with Nick Gibb in place, because he had such a set view in those areas, such a traditionalist approach, so in favour of kind of linear exams with a high stakes thing at the end. And yeah, as you say, the ASCL statement was very much almost like a, now he's gone, you can revisit things. I do get the sense though as well that probably on either side of the divide, there's maybe not a massive appetite for a big kind of policy reform. One thing that a couple of outsiders have sort of said is that this reshuffle is about the government putting itself on a on an election footing. Because I guess we kind of think about what teachers and heads might think about it and what it means for education policy. But stepping back, you can kind of see that education has been a kind of a source of bad news for the government. The department has over the last 2 years with various different sort of problems with COVID. So that's one thought I had. The other one is that when we spoke to leaders, we kind of were, you know, asking them what they wanted to see. And what struck me, I think, was that it wasn't necessarily that they were, you know, you need to sort out exams or you need to sort out COVID funding or you know, whatever it might be. It was just, we need to be listened to again. That's something that kind of came out. I know, Catherine, you spoke to a couple of heads who said similar. Well, yeah, that's the thing that struck me.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think sort of the kind of the key thing that that came across in those conversations with head teachers that you and I spoke to, it was kind of a common theme, wasn't it, about trust? And I think sort of during the past couple of years with the pandemic, and obviously sort of some of the chaos around exams and sort of using schools for test and tracing and school closures, There seems to be a real sense from school leaders that they don't feel like the department has been listening to them very closely. So that kind of desire to, I suppose, yeah, kind of rebuild that trust and maybe get the relationship between the sector and the department on a better footing is definitely there. And I thought it was interesting, kind of Jules White, who you spoke to, who obviously is the head of the Worth Less School Funding campaign group, that he said that you know, what he's expecting from Mr. Zahawi is not just to kind of, but for him to say thank you to teachers, but also to kind of really kind of listen and engage with the sector. And that seemed to come across, yeah, with everyone we spoke to.
Definitely.
On the subject of school funding, though, I think it will be quite interesting to see how everything goes down with the spending review. Because, you know, cynics might say, with Gavin Williamson and Nick Gibb gone, new ministers coming in, any kind of campaigning they were doing for certain issues, so any kind of funding they were really keen to secure, they're now out of the picture. And perhaps those kind of conversations won't be happening, or they won't kind of have as fierce support from the DfE as they might have done. So it'll be interesting to see whether, you know, we see a different set of policies come out because perhaps the funding that could have been secured for others hasn't been so by those who have actually left the department now.
I think, you know, striking that the thing the NAHT said was that his main job is to get more money for COVID recovery. So one of the biggest headaches that really would have been on the Prime Minister's desk this year was the resignation of Sir Kevin Collins as Recovery Commissioner, because he was appointed by Boris Johnson. he obviously quit when the government announced plans that were way short of what he thought was expected. We've had this idea that there might be a longer school day, and the government has said they're looking at evidence for that that would feed into the spending review. So I think one thing for us that we'll have an eye on, it, I guess, is whether Nadeem Mizrahi and his team can get more money out of the Treasury, because if he does, that will seem as a, even if it was on his way, that will kind of help curry favour, I think, with the sector, because it'll be seen as getting more than Gavin Williamson got. Yeah, and I guess the other thing is, there are some reforms that people might want to unpick, but there are also ongoing reforms that aren't over the line yet. And the one I'm particularly thinking of is the ITT review. Nick Gibb was seen as a driving force for that. What kind of sense do you get that, do you think his departure might kind of embolden those people who are opposed to it?
Yeah, really, really interesting question. There was actually a conference today looking at the ITT review in Westminster that I attended. Lots and lots and lots of talk about what might be happening next. I think you're right. Nick Gibb certainly was a driver behind the reforms. And it depends, I suppose, whether the ITT reform is treated as a priority by number 10, as much as it has been by Nick Gibb within the DfE. So we'll see, because I think that will certainly influence what happens from here on out. At the moment, it seems that the government is still yet to come back on the consultation. I think we're expecting their response mid-autumn. So until then, I mean, there's no indication that anything's changed. But of course, that will be the crunch point when they kind of state whether they're going to go ahead with the reforms as proposed or not. And that's where the spending review comes into it as well, because lots of people, including Sam Twistleton, who's on the expert advisory group for the ITT review, have said that more money is needed to see the proposals through. So if they don't secure that at the spending review, if it's not treated as a priority by the DfE and by number 10 in the Treasury, then you might argue that it's not as likely to happen in the way we might have envisaged.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, I think that's kind of covered a lot of what we have on our website. We've got a lot of news and analysis there, looking at the new faces, the departures, and what's likely to follow. I think just finish by saying that I guess Gavin Williamson's had probably the most tumultuous time as an education secretary in living memory, and he probably can't be compared to any of his predecessors because he's had to cope with COVID. And the kind of challenges that's brought. But at the same time, I think we have got the sense that the sector's not sorry to see him go, and probably hoping that the new arrivals mark a kind of a new start for the relationship between government and schools. But whatever happens next, Tess will be all over it. So keep an eye on our website. And until next time, thanks for listening. Cheers, everyone.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.